Friends, bless and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer coming at you strong now. Friends, man, okay, so look, I am in the studio here today, not by myself. Now, my trusty pig head is in here, Brother Bo Cephas, he's in here, and I wish you guys could see him because he's really cool. Like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a monster wild Texas hog that my son shot on the Brazos River, and we've got a skull in here, and he keeps me company. And then outside of that, I also have a good friend of mine that I'm about to introduce to you, but you need to know that you're going to love today's show because we're going to be talking about, I mean, obviously all three of these things go together. We're going to be talking about rodeo, we're going to be talking about music, and we're going to be talking about saving girls out of sexual trafficking in the name of King Jesus. Ta-da! Right on. Guys, in the studio here with me today is a guy that I really do love with all my heart. I don't really act like I like him in public. That's how you know I love you, Steve, is when I pick on you in church service or whatever. But guys, I'm in the studio here today with Brother Steve Stone. How you doing, man?
Oh, man. Awesome.
Yeah, are you good, really?
Absolutely.
You bet. I know, man, that you called me last night, and you're like, dude, this is happening. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, man. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy what God is doing. So,
yeah, it is.
So we're going to try and share a bunch of this stuff. But first, man, let's just do some preliminaries and let people know who it is I'm talking to. And you just got out of prison. We're so happy. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. That's another bad joke that I do all the time. I'm sorry. But no, actually, man, you grew up here in Johnson County, I believe.
Oh, man, I grew up probably 5 minutes from here.
Right on. So I grew up in Joshua, and you're a Burleson guy, right?
I was Burleson all the way through seventh grade.
Okay, then where'd you move to in seventh grade?
Man, my parents got divorced, and then I ended up living a little bit in Fort Worth.
Okay, yeah.
And then a little bit in Georgetown.
Okay. I got bad trouble in Joshua, and I got thrown out in 10th grade, and I had to move in with my dad. He lived in Fort Worth.
You went to school in Fort Worth?
Yeah, I did. Where? I went to a little bitty private fundamentalist Baptist school, is basically Amish, right down the road from Jerry. You know, Jerry grew up fundamentalist Baptist as well. Yeah. And First Baptist of Haltom City is where, I graduated from.
No, I went to, when I was in Fort Worth, I went to the eighth grade. I went to Wedgwood. And then I started high school at Southwest, and that was when it was the Rebels.
Okay, yeah, right on, yeah. So the deal is, when I first got thrown out, I got sent over to Keene, and I was over in Keene, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's fundamental Seventh-day Adventist, right?
Yeah.
And so they didn't have lunch. When they had lunch, they didn't have meat because they didn't believe in eating meat.
No, I'm out on that place.
So listen,
already.
Man, I know. So listen, I brought in some contraband bologna, all right, smoked bologna, right? Okay. And I was like, boys, listen, this is going to change your life. And all these kids
are
like,
you don't know what you're missing.
And I got busted, and I got thrown out of that for contraband bologna.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, that's okay. That's another story. But hey, man, I want to just let people know what you do and who you are. You actually play bass in the Casey Donahue Band.
Correct.
What kind of a genre is the Casey Donahue Band?
Texas music. Some people call it red dirt. Yep. Some people just call it Texas music, whatever.
And you guys are not just like a garage band. I mean, you guys are...
We've been doing it a while. So yeah,
you guys are doing this a lot.
Nine albums. We just had the ninth one come out.
You had your ninth album, no kidding.
Yeah, this year.
I know that you guys used to do like close to 300 shows a year. I think y'all dialed it back
it was
to like
close
200.
Something. I don't remember, two something or something. But now we try to do about 120.
Oh, really?
Last year we did 138.
No kidding. Wow, man.
So we're on track to do this year too, I think, 120, 130, something like that.
Oh, that's great, man. That's great. And it's amazing that you guys can actually do that and still make a living. And
yeah, man.
I mean, you have a huge market. So last year, for everybody that's listening, you guys check this out. I flew to New York City, and this is no lie. I flew to New York City and met my brother. I actually met you in Manhattan.
Yep.
And as many times as I've been in a New York airport, I'd never stomped around Manhattan. And you were like, no, dude, it's cool, man. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
And I showed up. You were wearing your cowboy hat. I was wearing my cowboy hat.
We looked like freaks.
We did. We did, which was great.
Yeah.
And we walked around there. And then you guys played for a sold-out house.
It was huge, man. We'd done that for quite – this was the first year that we didn't do that.
It was a huge venue, too. I don't know how many – how many people it helped. There's thousands of people there.
Yeah, it's a cool place, and they do it like the first weekend in March, and they do it because they're celebrating Texas Independence Day.
I know.
Most people here, and they don't even know when that is.
Yeah, don't even know when that is. Yeah. Knuckleheads.
Yeah, yeah.
So people would ask, okay, we know that you're an evangelist. We know that you're a drop-dead, sold-out Jesus freak. You know, we know that you love Jesus with all your heart. What do you say to people like, how can you play in a country band in bars and be a drop-dead, sold-out Jesus freak? Man, how does that work for you?
I mean, it's where God called me. I mean, right. You know, I could go over the whole down to the day that God called me to do that.
Right on.
But I can just tell you, it just hair lips or confuses religious people, not Jesus.
That's right.
And the cool thing is, I just feel like if I'm making religious people a little uncomfortable,
you're right.
Because did Jesus do that?
Yes, he did.
Hey, man. So if I'm trying to be like Christ, if truly trying to chase after Jesus and be like him, he made religious people upset. So
you know, I'm
right on course.
I'm a little bit of a musician, and back in the day, man, when we were playing all the time and playing full time, we were a Christian rock band, a Christian Southern rock band, but we had a full secular set because as we traveled throughout everywhere, we get to churches and they wouldn't pay us, and we could go play in bars and they would pay us, and we could still be Jesus freaks. Yeah. We could still be.
Doesn't say much for the church.
It was not good, brother. Yeah. It was not good. I promise you. And I'll tell you what I did after I got done. We played every kind of denominational church that you can imagine. This all during the '80s, from East Coast, West Coast, North South. Didn't matter if it's a Northern church, Southern church. Didn't matter if it's charismatic, non-charismatic. Mm-hmm. I just found that churches were full of some of the meanest, most wishy-washy people around. And I stepped out of that. I told Leanna, I'll never step foot in a church again. Now, you better be very careful when you say that, because you'll end up pastoring one and be in church every single day of the week for the rest of your life.
Note taken.
Be careful.
No, I. You know what? And here's the thing. When I'm playing in bars, I look out there and I see people that are enjoying themselves. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Well,
man, I think you can do that without—
So the idea is, well, if it doesn't have a cross on it, if it doesn't have a steeple on it, then it's not Christian. Well, I'm going to just say this: there's a lot of kingdom things that are Jesus that are not Christian,
without a doubt.
And boy, that makes people mad. When I have never, you know, I go to Africa every single year and have for 20 something years, and we have a huge work that we do in Uganda. I glorify God in a dadgum rhinoceros. I have never seen a stamp on its butt saying "Made by Jesus Christ." I've never seen that. If you can't see that God is in that, then that's on you.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's up to us to point that out.
Yeah. And you know what? I think like you're talking playing in a secular band. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus said, he even prayed, "Father, please," and this is in the red letters.
Right on.
Please don't remove him from the world, but sanctify him in it.
Come on.
So I think that we've created a subculture
we have,
this country,
yes, sir,
where we have Christian radio and Christian bookstores and I don't think that was the intention.
Do you know that? Jesus, do you know, brother, that in the Hebrew language, there's no such thing as a word for spiritual? So if you would ask Jesus, "So tell me about the spiritual part of your life," he'd be like, "What are you talking about?" Well, you know, the God part of your life. He'd be like, "God's in every single part of my life.
I love that.
There's no word in the Hebrew language for spiritual. So the whole idea of secular and spiritual is very much a Western man-made idea. Yes. It has nothing to do
with
the
kingdom. Very religious.
But I know you, and it would be one thing, Steve, and I'm going to tell you this, bro. It would be one thing if you did this and you said, "Yeah, I love the Lord," but you still cheated on your wife. You know, you still got out there and got wasted. You still acted a fool. You were entertained by those girls acting a fool and all that kind of stuff. And that's not you, man. I know you. You're totally separate from that.
No, absolutely.
And you're in what can be a hostile environment to the things of the kingdom. And dude, you're bringing the kingdom into it.
Right. You're right. There is a lot of, you know, in that. There's a lot of, I guess, would be temptations. And
sure.
But, man, I got to be honest, I don't feel tempted by any of that anymore.
That's awesome,
I just don't. And I'm not trying to sound spiritual or anything. I don't have the option to cheat on my wife.
That's
Are
exactly
you kidding
right.
me?
If you don't have the option, you won't cheat.
Well, I don't have the option.
That's
because
exactly
I would never. I just wouldn't do that, man.
Right on.
It's not
the deal is, God's giving you grace for it because it's in assignment, you know, it's in alignment for your assignment, mm-hmm. I should say. Mm-hmm. Friends, for everybody that's listening, I'm listening to Steve, we're actually having a chat here with Brother Steve mm-hmm. Stone from the Casey Donahue Band. But more than that, he's not actually a resident of Texas. He's a resident of heaven who lives in Texas. Mm-hmm. And brother, one of the things that you're also part of big time Western culture, mm-hmm. I mean, you're a heck of a horseman. I want to just tell you, last year, and I know that you used to buck horses, and I know that you buck horses now and that mm-hmm. you actually trade horses that are bucking horses, mm-hmm. right? Okay, but dude, me and my son went out to your house yeah. near Blum, Texas, just south of Rye Vista.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
we go out there, and dude, you're like, yeah, man, we're going to be bucking some horses. And you had your son, Riley, and some other stud.
Stone, my nephew.
Oh, it was Stone, your
yeah.
nephew.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Dude, those horses were yeah. so rank.
Yeah.
Dude, when you turned those horses, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
yeah.
I thought, you know, I didn't think y'all was going to have like Shetland ponies or anything out there, but man.
Yeah.
Those boys, we're just talking about in your back pasture, you know.
That's right.
Hey, man, we're
yeah.
all going to get together.
Oh, yeah.
You boys are going to get in these especially rank horses, and y'all going to get out there. Me and my son were like, man, this is going to be cool. This is going to be great. And my son used to ride bareback.
Nice.
And I only rode bareback 3 times in my whole life. And I actually rode bulls. I don't know if you know that. I
yeah,
did a
cool.
bunch of bull
in
rides.
High school or something.
Yeah, I did. And then I got fat, started getting hurt all the time.
No,
so
man,
it's, no, it's stupid. So,
yeah,
so but with that said, man, I was like, yeah, well, we'll see what, dude, when those horses blew up out of that gate, man,
yeah.
I was like, you gotta be
yeah.
kidding me.
It's fun, man. I love it.
Oh my gosh. No, it was a whole different level. I mean, I've been to a bunch of, you know, people's places where they're like, hey, man, we're going to be bucking some horses. But it wasn't anything like that. You guys had some serious horses.
Right on,
and those
man.
Are your horses, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ones we've raised. And I've sold some. So I've still got some. But we still do it. And we still have the registry. And, you know, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So you know that I save girls out of sexual trafficking. And you're very aware of that. You've been partnering with me for a long, long time.
Uh-huh.
And you've been my friend for a while. Too, and you really have been a friend to this ministry. And then this last year, man, God started really changing some things in you and said, hey, man, you need yeah. to start taking a bull by the horns yourself.
Yeah.
And you need to see what you can do. And you're going after it now. And just recently, yeah. you went down to Belize.
Mm-hmm.
I, unfortunately, was not with you on our trip to Belize, but Jerry went with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you went and met all my friends and saw what I
yeah.
were doing. Tell me about the impact that made on
oh,
your life.
Man,
and tell
it's
me.
So good. It's so good. You know, well, we got to see, you know, we met Johnny Lightning down there.
Yeah.
What a rock star this guy
he
is.
He is. He's so cool.
And just Jadeen and Craig and just everyone that's there in Belize is doing a work. Man, these people, you talking about sold out.
Yeah, they're
now, they
sold out.
They don't have a plan B.
There is no plan
no,
B.
No, they don't have yeah. anything here to come back to.
That's
I mean,
exactly
they're over
right.
there doing a work.
That's right.
And that impacted my wife as much as anything. Just that these people, these Americans are down there. They love Jesus so much that they sold out on everything. I'm talking cashed out 401ks, everything, and went
that's right.
to Belize.
For
to
people,
love
they,
people
yeah,
man.
For people they didn't even know.
They didn't know.
Didn't
that's
even
right.
know those people.
But we did get to go in and you know, the trafficking there is terrible. The human trafficking there is terrible.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know this, but I've been studying a little bit on this. Like the State Department declares certain countries when it comes to their laws and their against human trafficking on tiers. So the U.S. is a tier one,
okay.
meaning it still exists, but we have laws against it. If you get caught doing it. Like, you know,
right.
So I looked up Nepal and India and Cambodia and all that. Those are all tier two. There's only two countries in this world that are tier three human trafficking, a danger, a threat. Number one's China. The other one's Belize.
You're kidding me.
Little tiny Belize is a tier three.
I've never heard that.
Because there's nobody that you won't get in trouble for it.
Oh, no, you
and
won't
so
get
the
in trouble.
Cops, and so the cops there
yeah.
are off-duty security at the brothels.
That's exactly right. So
they don't do
I know for a fact
it.
That they're
bad.
Well, so I had an opportunity about a year ago to actually meet the president of Belize, to actually meet him. And it was funny, man. It's just the way that God does things. One of the craziest things that happened was on the day that I was there, Trump took millions and millions of dollars out of the Belizean government out of some account, said, you guys owe us a bunch of money, you're not paying us, so I'm taking it. He took it. And I happened to be there that day. So they thought I might be like some backdoor spy or
oh,
something, man. And they're like, did President Trump send you? And I'm like, no, King Jesus sent me. You know, I'm like,
yeah,
oh my
yeah.
gosh, like these people are going to kill me thinking, you know, because they're mad at Trump. And it was just a funny
wow.
deal. But anyway, in meeting with the president there, I told him, I said, sir, look, we're down here doing this work. He said, yes, I've heard that. And I mean, he knew about us. He knew, wow, cool. He knew the same people we work with. And He's like, yes, yes. And I said, sir, I said, we want to make a bigger dent. We want to do a bigger difference. But here's the deal. We don't have any kind of police protection at all. And we need somebody who's honest. We need somebody who that we can work with that's not involved in any form of sexual trafficking. And we need somebody that we can trust. And he looked at me and he shook his head no. Now, when the president of a nation tells you there's nobody here that you can trust with that, you're going to get killed if you mess around.
Just a couple of years ago, they tried to pass a law in Belize that if you're law enforcement, that you can't do off-duty security at the brothels. Mm-hmm. Didn't pass.
Nah. I wonder what the legal consensual age of sex is in Belize. Did you look that up?
I didn't look that up.
There's a big push.
I don't think you would get in trouble for anything. I'm telling you, there's no law.
So they probably don't even have one. So one of the things that pedophiles are doing all over the world is they're pushing for lower and lower consensual sexual ages to move it from 18 to 16 to 14 to 12 and so on. And it's being successful. It's happening all over the world because then what happens is then you can employ a 12-year-old and say, well, it's consensual. You know, it's consensual. And I mean, it's a child. You know, this is a child that's caught up in this.
It's evil.
It is evil. It's a different kind of evil. And it has to be answered by the body of King Jesus.
That's right. And they another huge thing over there is sexual tourism. It's guys, shame on Westerners, but it's Americans going over there scuba diving and all their stuff there on the coast.
Right.
And once a girl, those Mayan girls that reach puberty, those families to make money will rent you those girls.
That's exactly right.
And they'll rent them to you by the hour, the day, the week, the month.
That's right. You just make a deal.
And even if those Americans or whoever's doing it get caught doing that, they're not going to get
in
trouble.
They're not going to get in trouble.
And no one's going to tell anyone. Mm-hmm. They can go over there and do that, and no one's ever going to know. Well, God knows.
God knows,
and
brother.
And let me tell you. It's profitable for you to have a millstone tied around your neck, thrown in the sea. You heard one of these kids. I'm just telling you.
I'm so aware of this situation. It's actually what got me into this whole thing is, you know, we travel the world, Stephen, and we're always in such bad places. And we'd be in a place and people would bring me some child because they thought I was a sexualist tourist because I'm a middle-aged white guy. So if you're a middle-aged white guy traveling and you're out in trash dump somewhere, or if you're in some third world country in the worst part of it, they just go, oh, yeah, well, that's a sexual tourist. That's what they come here for. And that's the kind of reputation that guys that we have as American men here. God help us.
Oh, man.
God help
us. Kidding.
But, I mean, instead of just bucking the system, I just said, I'll take that one right now.
You bet.
And then get them in the car and say, you're going to remember this day for the rest of your life. Nobody's ever going to hurt you again, and take them to one of our orphanages because we have a ton of them. So, man. So you went there and you met Brother Johnny Lightning, who is, I think he's 81 now, I think. Oh, I think he's 81 years old. And he is so cool. And
He is.
He's such a rock star, and he's out there. And you guys went out y'all went all the way out to Benque, which is right on the border of Guatemala,
right on. Super poor.
Look, super poor.
Listen, people here, and I've had people say, why don't you just help poor people here?
And we do. We do help people here.
Number one, we do.
Yeah, that's number one.
But number two, if you think that there's, the poor people here are the same as poor in a third world country, that you just showed me that you've never been to
that's
a third
right.
world country.
You just never
because
traveled.
It's not the same.
It's not the
it's
same.
Not.
And also too, the bang for your buck is not the same. Meaning,
no.
What you can fix with $100 in a third world country take you $10,000 here.
That's correct.
And so on. And if you're people like us that you're just believing for a financial miracle for everything that you do, that's important. You know, instead of sitting around waiting for money, you're just out there taking on hell with a water pistol and then going, we will figure out a way to financially do it. So so you have so the Lord's opened up some amazing doors for you right on.
Through the bucking horses.
Okay. Tell us about that.
So in 2016, through raising bucking horses and finding out that there's not a registry for them, to track through DNA to track pedigrees and parentage, like they do in the,
you can
get a dog registry.
Right,
yeah.
Sure.
And so there wasn't in the bucking horse industry. So like we talk about Jehovah Sneaky, that's the way he got me into it.
Come on, man.
Through bucking horses. So we started this registry, and now we've got, you know, thousands of bucking horses registered from contractors all over the world, all over this country, but from Australia, just from everywhere. Well, I was at the NFR last year talking to a guy named Alan Bach, been in the NFR, team roper, gold buckle. I mean, this guy's been, I think, probably 16 times. Well, he's in the Hall of Fame this year. They inducted him in the Hall of Fame. So I'm telling him, you know, about the Buck and Horse deal, our registry. And he says, you know, we're having a gala here this year, and my daughter owns Rodeo Fame magazine.
Wow.
And she's doing a deal on human trafficking. And I go, whoa, man. You know what? My wife and I, we partner with some folks from Burleson, Texas, and we've been, you know, helping buy kids out of human trafficking for years. And I start telling him, he said, "Man, we want you to speak." And this was literally 2 days before that. You remember?
Yes,
I called you. I'm like, "Hey, man,
dude, you're
panicking. Scrambling. I'm about to get up at this gala and speak on our behalf."
We're talking about some of the greatest people in that in that venue
still
or in
live,
that
you bet.
And the greatest people, the
and
very
a,
top of
and
it, were in that
tie
room.
Event, yeah. Like, dude, this is the upper echelon of the rodeo industry. Well, here's the thing, too, though. Before that, we started, right before that,
yeah.
I felt led to start a 501c3 right through on. The Bucking Horse world because, let's just say, you know, maybe there's people in rodeo that can relate to me that don't relate to a church or whatever.
I promise you.
Listen, man.
Yes, sir.
I don't have to have a steeple.
Right.
I'm going to start this organization called the BHBA Freedom Foundation.
Come on.
Our logo looks very similar to the Bucking Horse logo, so it's very familiar to people.
Okay.
And I said, we're all the money that comes through this 501c3, we're going to buy girls with this.
Come on.
I mean, we're going to set people free. Well, that was right before we did. In fact, we were waiting on the attorney, waiting on our paperwork to get back while I was in Vegas, and this guy said, "Why don't you speak at this gala?" So it was in the very beginning of that. So I said, "You bet." So I did. We've been invited back this year. So this year, they're doing it. We're doing it at the, it's called Legacy of the West. We're doing it at the, the Renaissance Hotel and Casino, which is across the parking lot from the convention center, which is Cowboy Christmas.
Wow.
During the NFR.
Wow.
That's where everybody is. Okay. It's on the 12th, December the 12th, Thursday afternoon. We're doing that. I mean, it's going to be a very formal, everyone's wearing suits and dresses, and they do this red carpet walk, and it's going to be in Rodeo Fame magazine, and they're trying to get it televised and some of it, and it's just going to be huge. And you can even get a ticket and sit at a table with like your hero or whatever if you follow the sport, because the best in the sport are going to be there.
I'm going to be the old fanboy, old Mr. Tuff Heedman. I've never met Tuff Heedman.
and the CEO of the PRCA.
Wow.
Going to be there. The CEO for the PBR
Bob
is going to be there.
Is Bob Tallman?
Bob Tallman will be there.
And you actually know him.
Yeah.
You're not, I've never spoke with him
man,
either.
I love that guy.
You need
you
to
bet.
Hook me up with him.
You
I
bet.
Love him.
And he's very supportive of what we're doing.
Good.
In fact, he's got his own line of beef jerky now.
Oh, cool.
Bobby T's.
Oh, Bobby T's.
And he's like, we're trying to get this thing off the ground. He's got it in Boot Barn and they're selling it all over all the place, this beef jerky. And he said, here in the next couple of years, once I get this thing off the ground, I'm going to use some of the proceeds for my beef jerky company.
That's
to
cool.
Fund your, we're going to buy some girls out of
Well, Steve,
of
I just
slavery,
I so. Just have just a few minutes left. What would you just say, man, to folks that are listening, you know, to anybody that's listening to this, just about the burden that we have, where it comes from, how we stay in it? What do you, you know, you've been hit with some of the biggest obstacles you've ever seen in your life since you've been involved in this. You know, you have some... You know, you know what kind of world I live in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I mean, we talk about, man, if there's anybody listening to this and doesn't think I'm in over my head,
man,
I'm telling you right now, the two of us that are talking on this, we're in way over our head.
Not only in this, in every area of our
life. In every area of our life, we sure are.
I really am, man.
Me too, brother. I promise you. And so, and it's not like, you know, I pastor a church that has over 5,000 people on it. Most people would be like, dude, that's all I can do. I can't, you know, dude, it's like, what? We're involved in so much stuff. It's like, oh my gosh. And I'm saying that just to say this. I'm not doing all these things to try and do extra things. I'm doing all these extra things to try and make this one thing happen. I tell everybody, I do big church so that we can do big ministry outside.
Yeah.
If we're not going to do big ministry outside the church, I'm not doing big church.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get me a 400, 600 seat auditorium, and I can fill that place up, and I'll be a happy camper, and that'll be awesome. If we're going to do this, and if we're going to do all the hard work that it takes to do radio and TV, to take care of 5,000 people, to have the staff, if we're going to do all that, it's going to be to make everything that we're doing outside of this happen. Now, that I can do.
Yeah.
That I can do, and I'm very happy about doing that. But with that said, man, you run into some of the biggest— your heart gets broken over and over and over again, but still, man, you stand. You're one of those guys, man, that you stand and you hold on. How do you do that? Tell me how you do that.
Just like, and you and I have talked about it, you have to keep it in front of your face.
You do.
You absolutely have to keep it in front of your face. Yep. And I have to look at the pictures of those girls.
Yep.
And so every morning I have a prayer room in my house that I just have a recliner in it and all my books and guitars, and that's my room.
Awesome.
So I go in there in the mornings and I always try to pray for these girls. God, supernaturally, let them know that help's on the way.
Come on.
And I got to keep it in front of me.
Sir.
Because before long, if you don't, you just do your life and it keeps.
It's like Never Never Land. You forget.
You do. And honestly, you know as well as I do that our lives would be easier if we didn't know.
You know, man,
if we didn't even know about this,
that's exactly right. And that's something I recognize, man, is God never signs me up for easier.
God,
ever.
No
He's
kidding,
always
man.
Signing me up for better.
Yeah.
He's always signing me up for better. But man, better is never easier, man.
And
ever.
You never feel like you're equipped to go to the
nope.
I mean, I just don't.
It's
just like, oh my God, I'm in over my head in this music
normal.
Deal. I'm in over my head in this Buccaneers deal. And now in this deal.
Yes, sir.
I just look out there at all those people at that gate of last year that were, you know, there's Lane Frost's parents and there's all these stars in the industry. I'm just going, how did this happen? I literally started registering horses a few years ago and now I'm in front of the top in this industry.
Wow.
That is how God works.
That's crazy.
There's no way that I could have orchestrated that. I couldn't have set out to what I really want to do is get in front of the top in the industry.
Right on.
I just couldn't have. I had no credibility, but through this avenue, that's just the way God orchestrates stuff. We just couldn't make that up.
Friends, I want to encourage you guys to go and look up my brother. And when you see him out there playing bass on stage in the Casey Donahue Band, know that he's strategically planted there by the Holy Spirit for such a time as this. It's fun. That's one of the things I do all the time. I look up some of y'all's videos and check you guys. I can actually come see you guys sometime, which I'm sorry. I didn't come on Saturday night. I was planning on coming. I just couldn't make it.
Yeah.
But still, nonetheless, I love seeing you up there and just like going, man. It is honestly, I mean, you're living on a mission field that Texas country music right here, and you know it, and you're doing it. And I'm just proud of you, man. I'm so proud of you, brother.
I appreciate it.
I really am.
And I know God has me there for a reason, and it's an assignment. How long that'll last, I don't know.
How long have you been doing that?
This October will be 17 years.
17 years.
Nine
records. Wow, wow, wow.
Nine records. And
how many gigs do you guys think that you've done in 17 years?
That's a good question. I'd have no idea. Some of them have been really terrible. I'm thinking back to the very beginning going, you know, this seems really fancy and cool now, but 16 years ago, not so much.
Oh, I imagine. I can imagine, brother.
Yeah.
Well, if people want to look you up, if they want to look up your Bucking Horse Association, what's that called?
It's called the Bucking Horse Breeders Association. Our website is buckinghorsebreeders.com.
Okay.
Or there's a link to there on to our foundation, or you can go straight to it by going to bhbafreedom.com.
Okay.
And you'll see that we're partners with Answer International. We're partners with you.
I know, man.
I mean, man,
we're
doing this together. I just wouldn't do this without a team. I just wouldn't, man.
Well, I'm so grateful, man.
I'm glad you're partnered with us.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah,
thank you, man.
You know.
Well, friends, again, you're listening to my good friend, Brother Steve Stone, and if you're listening on the radio or if you're watching this on some other venue, you're listening to the Experiencing Real Life podcast that we do every single week right here at Open Door Church. For more information, you can always go to troybrewer.com, or if you can look up our church, that's at opendoorexperience.com. If you need prayer, if you want somebody to pray with or talk to, man, we don't care what it's about either. You can just call 877-413-0888. Guys, I call y'all the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.